And I think that since we don't have a specific sponsor for this year, let us dedicate our learning tonight for the safety and well-being of the several hundred thousand Jews that are trapped in a war zone in Ukraine. And in the zchus of our learning, peace should reign in the land for the Jewish community, for the general community, and there should be peace and goodwill and Bezrus Hashem, good things in Ukraine and the world over. So let's get to it. Okay, we are in Perek Chaf Ches. Sharing my screen with you. Okay, I'll get to that Malbim in a second. Okay, so beginning of Perek Chaf Ches. Vayhi bayamim ha'hem vayikbitzu plishtim es machaneihem latzava lilachem b'Yisrael. And at this time, the plishtim decided it was time for them to gather their forces and focus their attention on Eretz Yisrael and the kingdom of Shaul. Vayomer Achish al David, and you recall that David had fled to this to the place of the plishtim, and he was a close. I don't know if you want to say confidant, but he was close with the king, Achish Melech Gad. And Achish says to David, Yadoa teda ki iti teitzei b'machaneh ata v'nashecha. You know, of course, that you and your men have to march into battle with me against Eretz Yisrael. Yomer David al Achish, and David says to Achish, Lachein ata teda es asher ya'aseh avdecha. You should well know what I am going to do. Vayomer Achish al David, Lachein shomer l'roshi asimcha kol hayamim. I have complete and total confidence in you, and I will appoint you as my as shomer roshi, the person who's going to guard my head. In other words, my bodyguard. You're going to be chief of my security detail. That is the level of trust that Achish had in David. Now at this time, as Achish is gathering his troops on the Plishti side of the border, the Pasuk says, Ushmuel meis, Shmuel died. Vayispedu lo kol Yisrael, and all Bnei Yisrael eulogized him. They felt his the gaping hole of his absence. Vayikberu barama v'iro, they buried him. V'shol heisir ha'ovos v'sayidonim me'ha'aretz. And at this time that Shmuel died, Shaul removed all of the various tools that were used for divination from the dead. So Ovos and Yidonim, I don't know exactly how to translate it, but these are tools that were used.
Called necromancy, I think.
Yeah, that's what the process is called. But I don't know exactly what ovos are and yidonim. These are the tools which the necromancers used in their necromancy. So whatever it is, he had them all banned from the land. So the Malbim, if you say take a look on the right hand side of your screen. The Malbim asks a question. He says, "Halo kvar nizkar lamala? Did we already mention in Perek Chaf Hey that Shmuel died? Why are we going back to that now? Three prakim later. V'lama kefel po sheinis misa Shmuel hayalo lomar vayispedu baramovi rov lo vayikberu. What is he talking about? He died. They buried him. No, maybe they were still eulogizing him and declaring, you know, their fidelity and how much they missed him and his presence and what he and all and everything that he'd done for Klal Yisrael. So, okay, maybe that, but why is it mentioning that he died? So take a look at the Malbim's approach here on the bottom right hand. Ushmuel Meis, start over here where it says. I'll try to highlight it for you. Hizkir Poshenis Mitzad Arba Ta'amim. There are four reasons why the Navi mentions the death of Shaul again here at the beginning of our parak. And what are they? Aleph. Ush Amar Shmuel Meis, Umitzad Zev Shaul Hesiris Ha'avos, Kibchaye Shmuel Lo Panalaze, Kimisechel Yidrosh Elamesim. So the Malbim says that Shaul didn't just die right this second, but the Navi is putting together two factoids that are connected. One is the death of Shmuel, and the other is the fact that Shaul forbade all types of necromancy. What does one have to do with the other? So says the Malbim, B'chaye Shmuel, when Shmuel was alive, lo pana lazeh, nobody would even think to go to inquire of the deceased about future events or guidance or advice. Be'ez shachai haroe, when the prophet of Shmuel was alive, shehigid l'chol echad mishalosav, he could tell everybody whatever they needed. They needed to, you know, to find their where they lost their keys. He would tell them that they needed to know more significant advice. He would tell them that. You need to know the future. If appropriate, he would tell them that. So as long as Shmuel was alive, there was no need for people trying to consult and get information from the dead. The gam ki b'yamav hayu neviim rabim shahayu megidim kol chayfetz, aval b'mos Shmuel nistam chazon upaska hanavuah. When Shmuel died, even though there were many prophets around during his lifetime, when Shmuel died, Nevuah died with him. Not permanently, but for the time being. And so therefore, the people were anxious and were stressed. They wanted to be able to consult with what they, with a wisdom that was beyond the three-dimensional world and reality in which they lived. And so, b'mos Shmuel nistam chazon upaskan avuah b'yechelu ha'am harotzim ladas ha'hove ha'asid lidrosh ba'ovi yedoni. So now all of a sudden people started consulting with the dead, and they engaged in necromancy. V'al yidei kein hisorer Shaul levaram in aretz. And therefore Shaul banished them from the land. So you see here something remarkable that even though Shaul, by this time, had already devolved into a lesser spiritual figure than he was at the outset of his journey, he still had an understanding. He might be obsessed with running after David, and trying to kill him, but he still knew right from wrong. And there's a sort of cognitive dissonance here. On the one hand, he's running after David to kill David. On the other hand, he is preserving the loyalty of Hashem because necromancy is prohibited. It's Asur Ben HaTorah. The Torah prohibits it. It's a form of Avodah Zarah. It's not actual Avodah Zarah, bowing down to an idol, but it is certainly within that category or within that bailiwick of inappropriate ways of accessing divine wisdom. So we see here that Shmuel, there are two ways to look at it. You can either say that Shmuel still had a little bit of integrity in him, or you could say that he was a huge hypocrite. Right? There are two ways to look at the same thing. I think I might have shared with you the story before that the Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev was a great defender of Klal Yisrael. So, people could point to him the most egregious things the Jews were doing, and he would somehow spin it in a positive light. So he was once walking with some of his Hasidim on a Yom Kippur night, coming back from shul after Kol Nidre, or maybe after Kol Nidre, And as they're walking down the street, they see a few maskilim, some heretics, who were sitting in a restaurant eating chazer. So they're sitting on a restaurant eating chazer on Yom Kippur, begilui rosh, without not even wearing a yarmulke. So the chassidim scoffed at these maskilim. And Reb Levi Yitzchak said, why are you being so critical? They said, what do you mean, why are we being so critical? Why are you not? And Reb Levi Yitzchak looks up to the heavens and he says, Rabboni Shel Olam, how great are your children that even when they're eating on Yom Kippur, Chazer Treif, they still wear a yarmulke. So Reb Levi Yitzchak was able to always spin it, to see the best in people. So there are two ways to look at Shaul over here. Either you could say that Shaul was a big hypocrite. He was so concerned about Ovi Yidoni while he's going murderously after David HaMelech. Or you could look at it in a positive light and say, even as he's lost a little bit of his humanity, he still has retained some level of integrity, trying to be the banner and defender of Hashem. So two ways to look at the same thing.
Rabbi Sotayev?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm thinking also maybe this might be, from a literary perspective, foreshadowing, because Shaul himself is going to try to bring Shmuel from the dead, going to one of these types of necromancers.
Right.
So it's a little bit ironic that here he's pursuing them, but in the end he's going to, do the wrong thing, so to speak.
Right. So we'll see that in a couple of psukim, and I think that your point is well taken. So let's skip down here to the second of the four reasons. Beis, says the Malbim. Why does it mention here that Shmuel died? One second, I'm trying to highlight it for you, but it's not working. Okay, well, I can't highlight it, but over here where my cursor is. Ushmuel meis umitzad ze vayikpitzu plishtim la melchama. It's not telling us that Shmuel died because of the necromancy, but it's telling us Shmuel died because it is now in the wake of Shmuel's death that the plishtim have been so brazen to set their sights on Eretz Yisrael. As long as Shmuel was alive, they would not have deigned to do that. Shetchila hisyaru mipnei kochal shel Shmuel. Everybody knew about Shmuel, and everybody knew about the divine powers that Shmuel wielded, and they would have been too scared to go up against Bnei Yisrael while Shmuel was alive. But now Shmuel is dead. And even if they didn't, take up arms immediately, but soon after, it sunk in about Shmuel's death. And that's why Shmuel's death is mentioned over here. So it's about the Plishtim going to war as a consequence, the fact that that Shaul banished all of the Ovi Yidoni as a consequence. All right, Gimel. Yeah, go ahead.
Why didn't Pasuk Utmuel mate before it said Vayikvitsu plishtim et machaneim lasava? Like, wouldn't it have made more sense to say first Shmuel died and then Vayikvitsu plishtim?
Yeah, it actually does say in Pasuk Gimel Shmuel meis, and then Pasuk 4 is Vayikvitsu plishtim.
But it's in Pasuk Aleph. It said it already. Vayikvitsu plishtim.
Right. Okay. So it says it. It says it in both before and after. Okay. All right. Let's go to Gimel. Third reason. Shmuel meis umitzad ze vayar Shaul vayar vayecherad libo. Shmuel died, and now Shaul is vayera Shaul. Shaul is fearful. In other words, the death of Shmuel has an impact. And you could say that all these reasons are not in opposition to one another. They might complement one another. Shmuel's death had multiple consequences. It had consequences on the people. They were looking to Ovidoni. It had consequences on the Plishtim. They're now ready to battle the Jewish people. It had consequences on Shaul. He is now afraid. And number four, Ushmuel meis vayishal Shaul ba'Hashem velo anahu. Shmuel died, and the fourth and final consequence is that Shaul was cut off from divine communication. The im hayachai haya Shaul Shmuel. Had Shaul been Shmuel been alive, he would have asked Shmuel what to do. Velo hutzrach lebalaso v'shetale es Shmuel mikivro. So the fourth thing is that the death of Shmuel impacted Shaul in two ways. Number one, he was fearful. And number two, he didn't have access to divine communication. And in the absence of that, Shaul makes yet another bad decision. A decision which indicates that he was not really ra'oi for the melucha. At least he failed yet another test, right? Or maybe this is just pointing out that really his time was long past. So what happens? So Shmuel, one second. So Shmuel is dead, and Shaul now is anxious. And people do all types of crazy things when they're anxious and afraid and feel, you know, alone and cut off. And so Shmuel says the pasuk, "Vayikbitzu plishtim vayavo vayachanu b'shunim." The plishtim gather. Vayikba both Shaul is called Yisrael. Shaul gathers the people in Gilboa. Vayar Shaul is machane plishtim vayira vayecherad libo. He sees the plishtim and he is now afraid. Vayishal Shaul b'Hashem. Shaul inquires from Hashem. V'lo ano, and God does not answer. Gam b'chalomos, both within dreams. Gam ba'urim v'gam ba'neviim, also through the Urim v'Tumim, as well as through the prophets, Shaul is cut off. Now Shaul has a choice. What is he going to do now? Like, what should he do? If I were to ask you, like, what should be the next thing that Shaul should do? Shaul is Doresh b'Hashem. So he's scared, he's afraid, he seeks, and he gets no message back from Hashem. What should, if you were writing Shaul's story, would you think that Shaul should be doing?
Tshuva.
Okay. Elise says tshuva. Yeah, what else?
Prayer, I guess.
Tfila. What?
He probably is advisor of somebody.
Okay, maybe his advisors. Okay, Linda, you wanted to say something?
Uncle.
Linda.
No? I want to say prayer.
Go ahead, Esther.
What I want to say is, I think he was really petrified, for Shmuel had told him that David was going to take over, so probably he thought that during the time of Shmuel still being alive, maybe there's a shot at Shmuel changing his mind or something. But now that he's really, really dead, then he doesn't even have a shot at getting it back. And I think he sees it, and that's what's scared him the most.
Right. So I think you're right. I think that this is sort of the final nail in the coffin of the reality that it's really beginning to sink in. So when things begin to sink in, you have a choice to make. And Shaul had a choice. And Shaul...
Rabbi,
go ahead, Barbara.
He could have made peace with David. And then
yes.
He would have...
Yes. He could have made peace with David. He could have done tshuva, as Aliza said. He could have prayed to Hashem, as Linda said. Maybe even just consult with his advisors, just... You know, even if it's not going to be this grand transformational experience on a spiritual soul level, but just what to do, how to prepare for this war. But he skips every one of those steps and he goes to the worst possible choice he could have made. Right? He had four or five possible things to do over here. And he goes to the least appropriate one. Vayomer Shaul Avadav, Bakshuli Eshes Balas Ov. Right? I mean, as I'm sorry, I don't remember who said it before. Look at the irony of this. Three psukim earlier, the Navi is telling us that Shaul banned. He was the great defender of the honor of Hashem. The Torah says, no Ov, no Yidoni, and Shaul. So it's like if Hashem's being cut off from Shaul is the final nail in the coffin of his understanding of what's going on in his life trajectory, this decision is sort of the final nail in the coffin of Shaul, like being totally, he doesn't have much left after this. At least until now, you could say like the Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev, he might be eating treif in a restaurant on Yom Kippur, but at least he's wearing a yarmulke. At least, I mean, lahavdil, you could say that even though Shaul was running after David and trying to kill him, and the person who was anointed to be king, and Shmuel told him that this is the future and everything, but at least he was. At least he was the defender of Hashem. Now he can't even say that anymore. What would Reb Levi Yitzchak say here?
By the way, when a person is afraid, he's losing the sechel. He's doing things that are out of the right thing to do.
Right. Right.
Putin. It's the same situation. He's cornered.
Right. So right when people are afraid, they don't act rationally. But that's what emunah is supposed to provide a person. Emunah is supposed to help a person that when they are afraid, they can rely on Hashem that either things are going to turn out well now. Or if they don't turn out well, then the Olam HaEmes, we believe that things will be made right. But emun, but that so it's true, Rabbi Shiloni, that people do act not in their right mind. But Shaul should have drawn on his reservoirs of or his training of emunah. Where was his emunah here? He goes. I mean, he bakshuli aishasli balasov. That's like there are no intermediary steps here. It's not like he davens a little bit, he tries to do tshuva a little bit, he speaks to advice. Like, he skips every step and goes right to the Baal Eshes Balasov. Va'elcha.
You know who she was?
What?
Know who she was? She was his aunt, a daughter of Shalom. Really? I saw her in the Midrash, yeah.
What? Eshes of aunt?
I'm sorry? Okay, so the Pasuk says here, Mechashefa lo techaya. You're not allowed to let such a person live. And not only was he not fulfilling the Pasuk of Mechashefa lo techaya, he was now joining forces and partnering with her. So Shaul says, Bakshuli Eshes Balasov Elchai Lehavedra Shabbat, go find me. So a woman who consults, the dead, and I will inquire with her. Vayom Ravadav Elav, and his servants say to him, Hine Eshes Balas Ov Be'ein Dor. There is a woman in Ein Dor who fits your description of what you need, right? It's interesting that the name Ein Dor, Ein means I, like Ayin. Right? And, door means like the generation. So somebody who can like see the future. I don't know if that's a homiletic drasha or that's a legitimate interpretation, but I think it's interesting that she is an Ein Dor. Okay. So says says the pasuk, "Vayitchapes." Here, "Vayitchapes Shaul vayilbash begadim acherim." So Shaul disguises himself. "Vayitchapes Shaul," and I think it's appropriate that we're doing this parak right around Purim, right? Tachposhet is a costume. So here, Shaul puts on a costume. Vayitchapes Shaul, vayilbash begadim acherim, he puts on other clothing. Vayelechu shnen anashim imo, vayavo el isha lailin. He takes two men with him, and he, vayavo, and they approach this woman at nighttime. So, you know, the Gemara says that when a person feels overcome to do an avera, and they can't control themselves, they should put on black garments, sackcloth, and ash on their head, and they should go to a town where nobody knows him and do the avera over there. You know, and in other words, maybe through all of this action, it'll stop them from doing the avera. But at the least, if the person does the avera, it will be with great humility. So here he goes into another town. Dressed up with two people at nighttime, by Yomer, and he says, "Kasmina li ba'o v'ha'ali li es asher amar elayach." He says, "Do me a favor. I want you to consult the dead and ask them what I'm going to inquire of you." Take a look at the Malbim over here. "Vayitchapes harim leval takiruhu." Sheshana malbushav vayelechu ushnei anashav imo she'ein derech hamelech aleches ushnei anashim levad. So usually a king does not go with an entourage of two people. Goes maybe with an entourage of 200 people. So he disguised himself. He went with a small entourage. Vayavo ala yisha layla ve'ein derech hamelech aleches palayla. So he went at night. So a king doesn't go, you know, he disguised himself. A king doesn't go in civilian clothing. A king doesn't go with such a small entourage, and a king doesn't go out at night. Shelo Amar Tekef Shirotz Elahalos Shmuel Shaz Tavin Sheino Hediot Shelo Yerav Hediot Eslibo Lahalos Hanavi. So he didn't. And the fourth thing that the Malam says over here is that he didn't say to her immediately, consult with Shmuel. He says, raise the dead. I have something I want to ask the dead. And the reason here is because all of these things he was trying to hide his identity. So why was he trying to hide his identity? Why? For what reason? He's the king. He wants to know. He's the man in charge. Why is he hiding his identity?
I answer that.
Wrong thing.
Can I answer that?
I'm sorry, Esther. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted everyone to realize that he had no idea what's going on and what to do. And they would realize that, because why is he going to consult the dead? He should be knowing that from a Kaddish Baruch Hu or from someone, a Navi. So okay. Then he would be telling everybody, guess what, you know, I'm over. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, all right. Barbara?
I was thinking something different. He knew he was doing the wrong thing, and he didn't want anyone to recognize him.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I think that here
he went at night.
That if Rav Levi Yitzchak were to tell us how to read the pasuk, I think he would say, "Look at Shaul. He's going after a necromancer." He's, he's going after Shaul, after David. He's doing all the wrong things, but at least he's embarrassed about it. At least he's embarrassed about it, right? That's it's a mile already to be embarrassed about it. Okay, all right. These things can be read in two ways. Either you say he's embarrassed about it, or he's a big hypocrite. Or maybe it's both. Maybe it's a little. Maybe it's a little bit of both.
But why is he embarrassed?
Because he can't do it.
He's embarrassed because he wiped out the Oven Yedonim. Shaul never reacts well to reversing course. And if he personally wiped out Oven Yedoni and is now seeking necromancy, then he's being inconsistent, which is one of his worst things.
Right.
So I think he's not necessarily just embarrassed about doing something wrong. I think he's embarrassed that he is going against his own edict.
Right. And once again, he's afraid of how it will make him look in the eyes of the people. Whether it's like...
popularity is his number one concern always.
Right, right. Okay. So says the Malbim. You know, all of the pasuk says gives us all of these hints about Shaul trying to keep his identity a secret over here. Batomer ha'ishayilav hinei atayadata es asher asa Shaul. You know what Shaul did. This is like I feel this is divine retribution against Shaul. Hashem is like really making Shaul eat it. You know, like. The woman who he is consulting is giving him mussar, right? This is like ke'ilu going to the prostitute and the prostitute saying, "Really, this is what you're doing?" You know, it's like, he's getting mussar from the Aishas, Oh, that's really a new low. So, Vatomer Yishayilav, Vatayidat Asher Asah Shaul, Asher Hichris Asah Ovas, I say, don't you know that Shaul got rid of all these things? Lama Atam Isnakesh Benafshi Lhamiseini. Why are you putting me in harm's way? So, I think it's not just that she's telling him, you know, you're putting me in harm's way. She could have said, the Navi could have recorded that by saying, Vatomer Yishayilav, you know, Lama Tamis Nakesh Benafshi Lamiseini. Everybody knows that it's outlawed. But the fact that she says to him, Ata Yadata Esa Shera Sa Shaul, it's like a huge zinger. I mean, she's not intentionally doing that because she doesn't know it's Shaul. Vayishavala Shaul Vayashem Lemor. And now Shaul swears by Hashem's name. I mean, the irony of this is just amazing. Right? Here he is. Here he is at the house of the prostitute. I mean, that's what she is. She's a prostitute because she's prostituting herself to necromancy, right? So here he is at the house of the Isha, and he's saying, "I'm a man of honor. I am going to swear by Hashem's name. Nothing will occur to you. I'm a man of honor," right? The man, it's like there are almost no words to this. And the woman says to him, "Okay, you know, your business is your business. As long as I'm protected, I'll help you out. Now, who exactly did you want me to call up?" I want you to raise Shmuel from the dead. Batera Hayisha Shmuel Vatizak Bekol Gadol. And she raises Shmuel from the dead, and she sees his visage, and she screams a terrible cry. Atomer Yishal Shaul Emor Lama Rimi Sani Vata Shaul. Says, "Why did you deceive me? You're Shaul. You are Shaul. Lama Rimi Sani Vata Shaul." So again, I want to read this on two levels. On one level, she now knows the situation. So she's like, "Why did you deceive me?" But what, like, what is there's, you know, Shaul is also listening to her talk to him, and she says to him, "Lama rimi sani? Why did you rima is deception? Lama rimi sani? What? Why did you deceive me? The ata Shaul, and you are Shaul." I think that, again, there's sort of like this divine guidance going on over here, and Shaul is hearing exactly what he needs to hear. You know, Shaul is hearing that he's not so good these days, and he's really fallen pretty low. Deception. You are Atah Shaul. You are Shaul. Do you remember who Shaul is? Shaul, the person that was given the opportunity to lead Klal Yisrael. Shaul, who was a man of humility. Shaul, who was a man of kindness. Shaul, who was a man of spirituality. Ata Shaul, do you realize who you are? And it's like Hashem is speaking to him through the woman. Lama Rimi Sani, why did you deceive me? The Ata Shaul. Take a look at the Malbim over here on the side. Kol anshei lev hispalu ech tishlot isha b'chshafeha al nefesh hanavi lahorida mitzorachayim al yidei hakesem. All sort of thinking people wonder, how is it that she was able to somehow raise Shmuel from the dead? Ledas ulahagir atidos al yidei hechrech v'kishuf. And somehow to get information from Shmuel. I mean, how is that, how does that even work? Not some... You know, Shmuel is a grand soul. He's going to just, rise because from the dead to this woman. But so we're not going to do the whole thing. We'll read a little bits of it. Hamafarshim harichu b'davar hazem od basher yipalei ech yitzurar sheisha b'chshafeh timshol al nefesh hanavi. How is it possible that this woman could possibly be in control of the soul of Shmuel to somehow make it come from the dead? Ayomer Hagon Reb Shmuel ben Chafni, Shekol Maaseh Ha'ov Haya Dvar Kazav V'Hitulim. So Reb Shmuel ben Chafni says the whole thing is just fake news. It's all deception. It wasn't really true. She didn't really see. She didn't really call anybody from the dead, and it's not real and it's not true. And whatever she knew about Shaul, she knew about Shaul, but this is. This is just, a fraud. It's just a fraud. Vayomer haralbag shahaya mipu'ulas koach hadimyon. B'chol ze lo yachilu haketuvim haomrim shahaya hadavar hamamish. V'sheniba lo mayiel amachras umiyim loch acharav. So the Ralbag says that shahaya mipu'ulas koach hadimyon. This is, the koach hadimyon means... like the imagination. So v'chol ze lo yakilu haketuvim haomrim shehaya davar mamish. So I guess the Ralbag also was saying that that perhaps this is not rooted in reality. Vayomer Rav Haigon say shelo ha'isha hechiyata et Shmuel. She didn't bring Shmuel back to life. Rak habore hechiyahu laman yivadal l'Shaul ha'atid. Hashem did this because he wanted Shaul to know. Laman yivadal l'Shaul ha'atid lavo alav va'al beito. He wanted Shaul to know what's happening, and so he allowed this woman to access this. V'mhaya kein madua lo anahu b'urimu v'anaviyim. But if that's the case, says the Malbim, why didn't he actually just tell Shaul through the Urim V'Tumim or through the Nevi'im that were around? Vayomer Mahari, Sheshed Hitlabesh Begufo Shel Shmuel. It was a shade. It was an evil spirit. V'hu Asher Kar Uhu HaKetuvim B'Shem Shmuel Mitzad Gufo. And so when the Navi says that Shmuel wrote, it doesn't mean it was really Shmuel. It means it was. It was an evil spirit that was that appeared as Shmuel. Vayomer Balakedas Yitzchak Shehi Hitchila Befula Bal Yedei Kein Hitorer Shmuel Meatzmo. She started on her whatever she was doing, and somehow Shmuel was actually triggered, and Shmuel Al Yedei Kein Hitorer Shmuel Meatzmo Lo Yaldei Hechrechaov. Shmuel was from the Olam HaEmes was triggered, and he on his own came forth. Ulam lama lanu hadchukim hatsumim ha'ele. Why do we need all these dochak difficult commentaries explanations? Halocha chamenu zichronim levracha bagato seim sipur ma'isa of shahaya noheg adayin b'meichach me'am mishnah v'talmud. Says the Gemara says that this. This skill of raising from the dead is real. It's true, and it existed even during the times of the Talmud. V'yomru shama'ala ro'ehu v'hanish'al shomeat kolo. V'yamru she'im ha'nishal hu hedyot ole v'rosho lamata v'imu melech ola kedarko. V'chol zeh sipur mitzad sh'aysa ha'malacha zos no das. No heges b'yameyam. V'yadu kol segulo seh. So he says that you don't need all these difficult pshatim. He says it's true. It's true. Ulama asher titpala echim shal akishef al nefesh hanavi. So you're going to ask Akasha, how is it that some type of necromancer can somehow control the soul of the great Navi? Kvarti kvar biarti. So he says, I already explained this. Okay, so if you already explained it, we don't have to know. Now, so he says, kvar biarti bedrush miyuchad, I already explained. Ki hanishama hanetzeles milamala hi tistalek tekef b'mosa adam v'toshuv al olhim asher nesana. That when a person dies, their neshama immediately goes to Hashem, who the giver of the soul to begin with. Ulam hal nefesh ha-hi yu la nis ha-mishaveh im ha-gviyah hi lo tistalek ad klos ha-gviyah bekever achar yud beis chodesh. There is a part of the soul that stays with the physical body for 12 months. Kamo shekosav kol yud beis chodesh hi ola v'yaredes. So it's not such a big deal that she was able to consult with the dead, because she didn't really do anything, because we have this tradition that the soul of the dead stay with the body for 12 months in the physical body or around the physical body for 12 months after they die. Only for 12 months.
Oh.
At least a regular person. At least a regular person. Yes.
I think my brother was explaining to me, because I asked him, how come we always go to the kvarim of our parents and like tzaddikim and everything? So my brother said there's a nitzutz. There's something there still left. He doesn't say how much, but very end, there's something. That's what we go back to pray for. We're not praying out, obviously, to our gods. We're praying to something, which is a nitzutz of the Elohim.
Right.
Of the neshama.
So let's go back here to the pasuk, and I want to say that she consults, she raises a Shmuel from the from the dead, and I think if we just take it on face value, this is really also a terrible thing that Shaul is doing. It's not just that Shaul is not defending Hashem and doing the and fulfilling the mitzvah of losachaya, called machashefa losachaya, but really it's a terrible bizayon to Shmuel, if you think about it.
Disturbing him.
Yeah, it's a terrible bizayon. It's a terrible denigration of his honor and of his kavod that this Ashes Ov should somehow be the interlocutor, the communicator. I mean, it's just another level here of darkness folded onto darkness. Vayomer
lahamelech. What you said just now, Pasuk Yud Gimel is the only place that he's called Hamelech. The entire parak, Shaul, 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 Shaul. And right here, this Pasuk, Vayomer lahamelech, suddenly. I noticed that just now. The entire parak.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
So why do you think that, Rabbi? Why did it say it in this case? What happened in this
puzzle? She was afraid, so he says it to her not as Shaul, but as HaMelech. I go, okay, you know that I'm the Melech, so I'll tell you the rule. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to do anything to you, and nothing will happen to you. But the only place
that
is Hamelech.
Okay. Vayomer laHamelech. So the king says to her, "Don't worry, don't be afraid." Vatomer Aisha El Shaul, and the woman responds to Shaul, "Elokim Raisi Olim Min Haaretz." I see, or maybe Elohim. I see some type of divine thing that is coming up, coming up from the land. So just to Rabbi Shaloni's point for a second. He speaks to her as king, but she responds to him as a person. Vayomer la hamelech, the king says to her, don't fear. Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul. But when she talks to him, She's not talking to him as a king. She's talking to him just as a plain old person. Because really, as the king, this is so unbecoming of what a king is. And she's just like, in a certain way, she's even on a higher level than him. Because she's able to do something which he's incapable of. He's just, you know, he's just Shaul here. So he says, well, describe the person. She says, well, he's old and he's wearing a robe and Shaul kishmol, and Shmuel realized that it was Shaul realized it was Shmuel. He caught a pay marza vayishtachel, and then he bows down to him. Yomer Shmuel el Shaul, and Shmuel says to Shaul, "Lama hir gaztani la lo soti? What are you bothering me?" Yomer Shaul, "Tzar li ma'odu plishtim nilchamim." Shaul says, "I'm in great distress. The plishtim are coming. The plishtim are coming." Velokim sar me'alai, and Hashem's not talking to me. Velo anani yodni, doesn't reply to me. Gam bi'ananaviyim, gam b'chalom. Most of our karalach lo di'eni ma'aseh. So I'm calling you because I don't know. I don't know what to do. So take a look at the Malbim over here. Vayomer Shaul. Shaul says, "Tzar li ma'od. I'm in great distress." Chashav gimel dvarim. There were three things that were bothering him, and they're mentioned in the pasuk. Number one is the plishtim are coming. Number two is Hashem has removed His spirit from me. And number three, lo anani od, and I have shezes siman ra. This is a bad sign. Chashav aseder neviim v'chalamos shibush lemor shehiktim chalamos leneviim. He didn't even bother. So this is a bad sign. This is a siman ra. So he says, you know, and it's somehow strange that this should be a siman ra for him, because this should be just clear as day what's going on. But it's still like there's some level of self-deception over here, of self-rationalization. Yomer Shmuel, and Shmuel says, "Lama tishalein? What are you asking me for? Hashem sarim me'alecha v'yihi arecha. Hashem has turned away from you, and He has become your adversary. Vayas Hashem lo kasher diber biyadi, and Hashem has done exactly what He told me, and I told you. Vayikra Hashem es hamamlecha miyadecha v'yitna l'reyecha l'David. Hashem took away the kingship from you, and He's giving it, and He's giving it to David." Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem lo asisa charon apo ba'amalek. Just as you didn't listen to Hashem, and you didn't act properly with Amalek, al kein hadavar hazeh asal lecha Hashem hayom hazeh. Therefore, this is why Hashem has done this to you, to take away your melucha. So, of all the things that Shmuel could have said about why Shaul was not right for the melucha, he goes back to Amalek. Why does he go back to Amalek? Because I think Amalek is the one that wraps it all together. Amalek shows that he cares about what people think. Amalek shows a misplaced understanding of who determines morality. Amalek shows a lack of of emunah. And Amalek shows also, if I'm recalling correctly, and Amalek shows about personal gain and how self-interest overcomes his stated principles, because he did keep some of the booty of Amalek. Am I mistaken about that, folks? Am I remembering that correctly?
That's correct.
So he did keep some of the booty. So Amalek, you know, a lot of the things that we saw here, I think, show these things in part or multiple. But Amalek is all of it together. Right? The lack of emunah, the personal gain.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Rabbi, it makes sense, because in the Megillah it says at the end that they did not take part in the
Bizah. V'abizah lo shalchu es yadam.
Right, and that's to make up for this time. They
want
to make up for this time.
Right. Al-Kain Adavar Hazeh Asalacha Hashem Hayom Hazeh. And therefore Hashem has done this this to you on this day. Vayitein Hashem gamas Yisrael imcha biad plishtim. And not only this, not only are you going to lose your melucha, but you're going to lose the war. Umachar atal vanecha imi. And, you know, and tomorrow you're going to be with me. Right, in the world to come. Gamas machane Yisrael yitein Hashem biad plishtim. And Hashem is going to also put the Jewish people, give them to the hands of the plishtim. So, you know, they say a story about, you know, about a guy who God comes to a person, and the person says, and God says, you can ask me anything. So he says, well, I want to know the purpose of all of life, the secrets of creation and the universe. So God says to the person, for that you'll have to wait until after you die. So he says, I can't wait that long. And God says, you can't wait 20. And God says, you can't wait 24 hours. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that in a way there's a little hint of hope here, because when he says, see me, I thought that might be in it, that he, you know, he may be near Shmuel, so to speak.
I'm having a little difficulty hearing you. You try it again?
He said that he'll be near Shmuel.
Okay. Maybe that's an interesting take.
Well, death atonement.
Right. Okay. We're gonna. Vayimaher Shaul vayipol melo kamaso arza vayirama od midivrei Shmuel. Shaul falls on his face. He is fearful. And of what Shmuel has just shared with him, gam koach lo haya bo ki lo achalechem kol hayom kol halayla. He was physically drained. He hadn't eaten all day, and this sets the stage now. And this sets the stage now for the next part of the story. So I think we're gonna pause here. Whoops.
We're way up to
and. I'm sorry. Okay. We're up to pasuk chaf aleph. Yeah. So just to summarize over here, I think what we saw here tonight with this whole story of Shaul and the necromancy is really showing in full relief so many of the flaws and of the inconsistencies and the difficulties of Shaul, you know, coming out in its fullest. And if there was a little bit of a saving grace of Shaul beforehand, in that he had, it was still sort of the defender of Hashem, that seems to be gone now as well. And if Shaul has lost his opportunity, ben adam l'chavero, he's lost his opportunity, ben adam l'makom, it seems that he really has no place left to go, but to the Olam HaEmes, and to turn over the Melucha now to David. But we will see it unfold as it needs to. Any comments or questions before we head out? Go ahead, Linda, but unmute yourself.
Okay. Hi. What I did.